Welcome to Japan Top 10. This is our April 2021 Artist of the Month episode featuring the band Good Morning America. I'm your host, Edward.
And this is Ethel.
Let's get into it. Japan Top 10.
So guys, Good Morning America, which has absolutely no relation to the American television news show of the same name, is a Japanese rock band originally formed among four high school mates in the Tokyo suburb of Hachioji. Although Good Morning America successfully signed to a major record label called Nippon Columbia and went on to gain nationwide recognition in Japan, the band abruptly announced a break from music making in the year 2020. As we patiently wait for their big comeback, let's take a look at some of the band's greatest hits over their two-decade-long career.
Looking to join our podcast? We are currently on the lookout for a new on-air host to join our team. If you think you have what it takes, visit jtop10.jp/join to find out more information on how you can apply. We are now on Amazon Music. Look us up and give us a listen on the website via their podcast page.
And now we're back with the 2013 single Catch and Release.
Number 4.
Catch and Release is the fifth single released by Good Morning America in 2013.
The music video for the upbeat number shows the band members and characters being controlled like puppets, or Muppets, by colored ropes to a point where they couldn't move anymore. Seems like the Muppet theme is a popular motif among a lot of MVs of Japanese bands, which, yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
But the world's most popular one is NSYNC.
Ah! I'm not going to sing this song because I don't want to get copyright infringement.
True. Mm. Anyway, in 2020, after nearly two decades of performing together, Good Morning America announced they would put their activities on hold.
The band entered a hiatus after the final date of their one-man tour titled Mata Aeru Yone, meaning We'll Meet Again. The tour ended at Umeda Club Quattro on January 25th in 2020, where many heartbroken fans attended.
The band's announcement stated that this is a result of the members each reassessing the path they want their lives to take in the future.
In an individual comment, frontman Shingo Kanehiro stated that they have chosen to put the band on hiatus so that they will be able to continue on with the same four members. The date of their return has not been decided, but he promised fans that he will continue to hone his skills in anticipation of it. Okay, this is the video that stuck in my head because everyone being caught in the same, like doing the same motion with the different cuts to like different people, the fact that everyone gets tied up and stuff, which now that I'm hearing me say it out loud, anyway, but the whole idea of like, you know, the ribbons and the strings and the being tied up thing, that obviously is a common motif. I mean, Japanese culture or in the Eastern world, the whole, you know, red string of fate, being tied up, that kind of a thing happens a lot. So this makes sense. It's a good video.
Yeah, very poppy. Very poppy. I didn't really understand the whole ball of the, whether it was rubber bands. It looked like a giant rubber band ball, so I wasn't sure. But I kind of really liked the very odd interspersed scenes of people dancing.
Mm-hmm, me too. It was giving me very, especially at the end, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I want to say it's All Night Vermillion. I can't remember the exact name of it. I'm so sorry. But if you look up on YouTube, Kathy's Dollhouse. So what? There's this Japanese comedy group, and they're four ladies, and they end up doing a dollhouse, or like they pretend they're in a dollhouse essentially, and they're like dolls, and they move like dolls and stuff, and the voiceover is just like, oh man, putting on a really high voice, pretending he's playing with these dolls who are the actors, and at the end when they're all moving, it's very reminiscent of that. So if you want to know what I'm talking about, go look up Kathy's Dollhouse and you'll see what I mean. It's pretty funny.
Okay, so I'll go find this after this episode.
Absolutely, you got homework, Ethel-chan.
Yay.
Anyway,
before we continue with the rest of this podcast, here's an announcement. Do you want to advertise on our podcast, market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts, and reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget? Find full details at jtop10.jp for an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Up next we have Wallpaper Music, Ja Odoritaku Naize, released in 2011.
Number 3.
Smile, 張り付けたまま墓場へファンを持っていくのかい 他人の顔ばかり
wallpaper music ja odoritaku naite, which translates into No Dancing to the Wallpaper Music, is Good Morning America's second mini album released in 2011.
The music video of the summary song features the band members dressed in suits, with girls in swimsuits dancing around them.
The video drew a rather positive response, and the band even featured several of the actresses during live performances to energize the crowds.
The final show of their tour in 2011, which was also their first one-man live, took place at Daikanyama Unit and was later released in a DVD. The band closed a fruitful year with a performance at Countdown Japan 2011 to 2012.
Okay, so the whole bringing in the actresses during live performance to energize the crowds thing, that is a very common branding tactic. A lot of people do it, so I'm like, kudos to you, it's very smart. Also, they're giving like actresses more work, so I'm all for it. This is the video where there are, it's kind of actory in a way, because, you know, they gotta interact with other people and stuff, which is kind of neat to see, because usually band videos, if they're trying to tell a story at all, it's usually just, we're a band and we're performing. So it's kind of neat to see something a bit different.
I believe this was actually a mix of the behind the scenes take for the music, for the song. So when I saw the first part, I thought, okay, clearly, Tanashin is really quite a character, and I think I'm definitely a fan now. And I'm very sure those orange short shorts he uses in this music video were the same short shorts he wore in Hello, Hello, Hello.
Wow, you really like these orange short shorts. Are you trying to tell me something, Ethel?
I'm actually wearing orange shorts right now.
I agree. Like, once we saw Tanashin running around and talking to the camera, I was like, oh, now I get it. Like, it clicked for me. And I was like, okay, this makes total sense. Like, you're very charming.
Yeah, and I didn't understand why he, at the beginning of the video, he was saying, like, we're gonna do jumps. And when the music played and the rest of the video played, I was like, oh, they're doing jumps for this whole video, and because there's also a part of the lyrics that says something about jumping. So yeah.
There you go. Sometimes the simplest idea is the best idea, you know?
Totally agree. Simple is best.
All right. Now we have another announcement. Are you an indie artist and create Japanese music or Japanese-inspired music and looking for some free exposure? Get in touch with our music director, Haley, by sending her an email at Haley, that's Haley, at jtop10.jp, and let her know. More details are also available on our website at jtop10.jp.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Up next is their 2019 very, very popular song, Full Throttle.
Number 2.
Yeah.
Full Throttle is the sixth major single and last single released by Good Morning America in 2019, just before they went on hiatus.
The touching music video, which dropped on YouTube as a surprise to fans, was compiled of clips from GMA's concerts.
Each member left a comment on the video description addressing the announcement, thanking fans for their years of support, and promised them that the band would return with better music.
However, several months later in February, fans were delighted to learn that frontman Shingo Kanehiro and drummer Peggy have decided to form a new rock trio called Asura Beto II with Yoshimitsu Yamazaki from another band named Saji.
The trio released a digital single titled In Principio Erat Verbum on February 3rd, 2020 and announced their live debut on March 21st in Osaka.
Kanehiro also released a solo mini-album late March last year titled Hajimari no Uta. The frontman's first official solo release contains six tracks and has a different sound from his previous works at GMA.
Meanwhile, bassist Tanashin will mainly focus on creating content as a YouTuber, and guitarist Koichi Watanabe will devote himself to other activities apart from just being a guitarist.
I'm sure, the fans must have really enjoyed this. I mean, it was a very, very, very popular single. But also, the live concert clips and the comments and stuff, it's so sweet. I think that's so nice. And it's pretty cool, actually. They've gone and do solo works. I think that's pretty smart.
I feel like the music video was like, harken back to the times pre-COVID, everyone.
Yes, so many people gathered in one space. It's kind of weird how it's triggering now a little bit, you know? You go back and look and you're just like, all these people, everyone's singing, the spit.
In the mosh pit. Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's skanking, everyone's pushing into each other. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's true. Oh, man.
Mm. And thus a whole generation of introverts was born.
Yeah, a whole generation of hikimori was born. Nothing, there's anything wrong with that, actually. Fun fact, I did an interview earlier this month with Rio and she talked a bit about that. So, you know what? Artists can do it too, and so can you. If you want to be an introvert, it's a-okay. I'm thumbs upping right now. You just can't see it.
Okay. So here is one of our final announcements for the episode. Do you want to hear double or triple the amount of songs on this show? Join our Patreon club and become a Patreon star or a Patreon platinum donor to get respectively double or triple the amount of songs on this episode. For full details on our website at jtop10.jp/club.
Our final song of the episode is Haike Zarathustra, released in 2014.
Number one.
Oh,
Haike Zarathustra, which translates to Dear Zarathustra, is Good Morning America's second major single, released in May 2014.
The song was featured as the ending theme song for the animation Dragon Ball Z Kai's second season, which leads up to the fight against the series' final and most powerful antagonist, Majin Buu.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, known just as Dragon Ball Kai in Japan, condenses the 1989 to 1986 Dragon Ball Z anime series to more closely follow Akira Toriyama's Dragon Ball manga.
Apart from a re-recorded soundtrack, the series features digital high-definition remastering, a re-recorded soundtrack, and select scenes updated with new effects or reanimated footage.
The band went on a national tour shortly after the release of the song, performing in venues across Hiroshima, Fukuoka, Sapporo, and Tokyo. The name of their tour was called Nanatsu no Hiho wo Sagasu Boken, or The Adventures to Seek Seven Treasures.
The title of the song is taken from the book Thus Spoke Zarathustra, a philosophical novel by German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, and chronicles the fictitious travels and speeches of Prophet Zarathustra.
So obviously The Adventures to Seek the Seven Treasures is a reference to Dragon Ball, clearly, because you have to get seven balls. Makes total sense to me. So good tie-in, you guys. You did it. It's interesting, this song with the whoa and the Zarathustra thing at the end, it's very accessible and it makes a ton of sense that they would do this for like an ending theme, especially if they knew how big it was going to be. I mean, Dragon Ball Z has always been like a big deal. So I'm pretty sure they were like, we did it. We made it. We have to make this really accessible. And I think they really accomplished that. It's very similar to the song at the top of our charts, actually, when we started this. At number 12, Sora Bakari Mite Ita. It's very similar to that. It's got the same whoa chorus with something else. So,
I like how you pointed it out. It's a very nice way to bookend this episode. Mm. And to be very fair, I'm only more familiar with Sora Bakari Mite Ita instead of this song. I believe I've listened to that song because Good Morning America debuted for the first time during that time. But for Haike Zarathustra, I found the music video fairly interesting because of the screen they had behind the band. Mm. There were montages of military scenes and impoverished children in I will not name the country. And as what I said in the final comment about this song, the music video ended up with pictures of Nietzsche on the... Is it Nietzsche?
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem. Yeah, it's true, actually. It's funny. So I guess, I mean, Thus Spoke that Zarathustra is actually a very common thing that's referenced in all overall cultures, but especially in the West, in the Eastern world, for sure. I can think of a famous video game series called Xenosaga. Shout out to Xenosaga, my fans. Mm-hmm. But they actually used all of Nietzsche's books in their titles. So one of their titles was Thus Spoke Zarathustra. That was their third game of the series. It would later go on to be Xenoblade or Xenoblade Chronicles. So, you know, it never dies. But anyway, so Nietzsche and that whole idea of Zarathustra, it appears quite a lot, which it's interesting that it appears here. And they actually show a picture of Nietzsche. So
yeah,
there you go.
End with this picture. And I was like, okay.
It's like a school project. Here's a project on Nietzsche and nihilism. Here it is. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for hosting this episode with me, Edward.
You're most welcome. Ethel Chan, thank you so much. This is a real pleasure. And I got to discover a band that I vaguely knew about because of Dragon Ball, but now I know them even more and I like them quite a bit. And I gotta admit, like, all the band members, they really grew on me. So this was a real good learning experience. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I agree as well that this was a very fun episode to be part of. There are so many Japanese rock bands in Japan. And when Good Morning America came out, it came out, they debuted properly in 2010. So it kind of was part of a very big group of now very mainstream Japanese rock bands like One Ok Rock, Alexandros, probably Super Beaver as well, and Ratmans, and to name a few. So they all were either debuting at that time or were becoming extremely popular by the early 2010s. So it was like, boom, so many. And they kind of remind me, I wanted to say early on, but I forgot, but Good Morning America reminds me a little bit of Sekai no Owari.
Which is featured on our channel, actually. It's been featured in our top 10 artists and lists. So there you go. Yeah, I agree. Actually, it's funny to think about this because if you think about all those bands that have been released and ones that are still releasing now, I think about in the Western world, we don't really have labels. They're not like a big deal anymore. You know, getting signed to like a major label like Jive Records or Bad Boy Records, any of those kinds of things, they are, it's not like the be all end all for an artist. Whereas in Japan, the whole having a big record company behind you is still a huge thing. And I think that's really fascinating because in 2010, that machine was still well in effect. And now that we're in 2021 and the band has kind of taken a break, it's interesting to note that what they're going to do in the future and what kind of backing they're going to get and what kind of promotion they're going to get, it's going to be very different because the world has changed so much. You know what I mean? People are doing more things digitally. Anyone can release songs. All these indie artists are coming up. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do next and what avenues are going to be available to them and how they're going to like translate their star power and star quality.
I totally agree.
The world has changed.
Especially for older bands who've been around for a very long time, who've signed on to like major labels like Avex or Sony and Amuse, I would say. But yeah, I have not thought about that yet. But I do agree because the landscape of new Japanese musicians have changed so much. They are really capitalizing on digital mediums to push out their music. A lot of brand new Japanese musicians, bands or solo artists can be found easily on Spotify and also for Spotify now, but it used to be YouTube. A lot of them you could actually find on YouTube. There were so many at one point in time, a lot of indie music labels on Japanese indie music labels on YouTube, and now people have just found their way onto Spotify and they just push it there. Then major music labels come calling.
That's true. I mean, it's actually really interesting when you think about things like social media as well, because before, Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff wasn't really big in Japan, and it kind of took off in like the later half of the decade. So now they've kind of infiltrated that a little bit, and that's like a part of their branding. Like, that is such a huge integral part now of being an artist in Japan and being a band in Japan. It's about that branding and accessibility. Actually, now that I think about it, Good Morning America kind of really capitalized on that kind of stuff at the right time. I mean, you've got all of the antics of Tanashin, and you've got like their super cool lives and stuff, and that was like the only way you could really see them. So now that it's kind of like expanded, they're gonna have to fight even harder, I think, to get a piece of like of people being interested in what they're doing. But I mean, you know, when you got someone like Tanashin, how can you not?
But those shorts. And also one thing's for sure, a lot of Japanese fans tend to be very loyal to bands for a very long time. Like even if they go on hiatus, they come back, they're still there. They're always there to support you.
I love that. I think that's so admirable, and I think that's so great. People around here in the Western world should take note.
Anyway, so we're gonna wrap up this episode.
You're thinking about Tanashin. Clear your mind, Nicole. Clear your mind.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, guys, coming up after this episode will be another brand new top 10 episode released in April, a week from now, and it'll be hosted by I and Kirby.
Be sure to check it out. So, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I sure did, and I had a lot of fun. I'm Edward.
And this is Ethel, and this episode was scripted and quality assured by Kelsey.
Thank you for all your work, you guys. Yay, team. This was our Japan Top 10 April 21 Artist Month. Artist Month. Wow. See, even I'm thinking about Tanashin now. This was Japan Top 10's April 2021 Artist of the Month episode with Good Morning America. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.